Parshas Kisetze tells us about the Ben Sora Umora. The Ben Sora Umora, known as the wayward son, has a lot of halachos attached to him. Qualifications for becoming a Ben Sora Umora, what he has to do, what his parents have to do in order for him to become a Ben Sora Umora, a lot of technical details. And because of this, for this very reason, there's actually an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that the Ben Sora Umora lo hayo v'lo yihye. There will never be such a thing as a Ben Sora Umora because, just technically, the window of time for him to become a Ben Sora Umora, the age, as well as all the other things he has to do exactly a certain way, and his parents also have to be on board with bringing him to Beis Din, and it's just not so practical. But the Gemara says nonetheless, even according to the opinion that it never happened, we still apply the rule of Drush V'Kabel Schar. Still have to learn the topic of Ben Sora Umora, which should be M'Kabel Schar. In fact, perhaps the whole idea of a Ben Sora Umora is really only in the Torah to teach us about educating a child, and perhaps it's a message for the child who's going to learn Chumash that he should see what not to become. I'd just like to share two points, two halachos, two lesser-known halachos that are not written in the Pasuk that shed light, perhaps, on the chinuch of not only a Ben Sora Umora, but any child. The Pasuk says, in Perachaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Tes, V'safsu bo aviv v'imo, so his parents, his father and his mother, grab hold of him, V'hotziu oso el ziknei iro v'lshar mekomo. And they take him out, they take him to the ziknei iro. The Gemara in Makos, on Daf Yudam and Beis, has a machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. What would happen if there are no ziknei iro, no elders of the community? This machlokas applies by other areas of halacha as well. For example, the last week's parasha, the Egla Arufa, we take the person was killed outside of a city, the city that's closest to the dead body, the Ziknei Ha'ir, the elders of that city come out, and there's a whole process, Yedeinu lo shavchos adam hazeh, Beinenu lo ro, we didn't see this person, we didn't kill him, and they have the Egla Arufa ceremony. Now, again, what happens if there are no Ziknei Ha'ir? So this question is raised in the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Machlokas v'Rami v'Rasi, and the answer is, according to one opinion, the Gemara says, Ziknei Iro is only L'mitzvah Ba'alma, which means, it's a good thing, it's a mitzvah to have Ziknei Iro, if you didn't have it, so then you move along, you move the process along without Ziknei Ha'ir. But the other opinion says no. The Pasuk says you have to take him to Ziknei Iro. If he doesn't have Ziknei Iro, he can't become a Ben Sora Umora. Another qualification. For all the other qualifications, for all the requirements to make a Ben Sora Umora, there's another one. And that is, if there's no Ziknei Ha'ir, he can't be a Ben Sora Umora. I think we can identify very much with this opinion. Yeah, imagine, what is Ziknei Ha'ir? Ziknei Ha'ir are the elders of the community. They're the role models. They're the people we look to and we say, this is what I want to become. This is the way I want to daven. This is the way that I want to learn. This is the way to act properly, to have derech eretz, etc., so on and so forth. The Ziknei Ha'ir represents the role model. If a child doesn't have a role model, he doesn't see what to strive for, he doesn't have that person or those people that he can look to and say, this is a person living life the way Hashem meant it to be. This is something I can try to mimic and imitate and become. If a person doesn't have that, so he has nothing to strive for. So he's going to look for models elsewhere, and maybe those role models are not going to give him the same values. If a person doesn't have Ziknei Ha'ir, then we can't expect him to become anything special. It shouldn't surprise us if his role models are not the Ziknei Ha'ir that he would become a ben sora or umora. The truth is, we don't need it to be a ben sora or umora, and it doesn't have to be ziknei ha'ir. It could be us. It could be us for our children. It could be a parent for a child. It could be a rebbe for a student, for a talmud. And it can also be an adult in shul. Could be anybody that's a role model. If we model proper behavior, then we're putting our children on track to succeed. They see, and it might not be easy to become that, but they see that this is a value that they need to have. If they go into shul and they see people davening seriously, they see people who are focused on the sitter as opposed to whatever other distractions there might be, well, they're going to look at davening and say, oh, I might not be ready to, you know, daven the whole time, but at least I see this as a value. This is something I'm going to strive for. When I'm big, I'm going to become this. I might not be able to sit through a whole shiur, but when I'm big, I'm going to learn daf yomi like my father. I'm going to be koveya itim latorah. I'm going to go out at night or Sunday morning when I have a little free time. I'm going to go to a shiur and shul. But if we talk during davening, if we don't act the way that we would have hoped that would be ideal, then we can't expect our little children to see that and not be affected by it. If our children are exposed to people who are less than stellar, then what happens if these are the people that they idolize? Then if these are their role models, then these are the values they're going to inculcate, and these are the values that they're going to want to pursue. So you always have to be very careful. If there's no ziknei ir, then you can't have a ben sora more. You can't put a child in a position where he has nothing to strive for, he has nothing to look up to. You can't expect him to become something. And that, at least according to one opinion of the Gemara, is why it's not enough. If you don't have ziknei ha'ir, not only technically, because Gzeres HaKosov, the Pasuk says you have to bring him to the ziknei ha'ir, but he doesn't have his role models. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is based on a Tosefta in Negoyim. In the sixth parak of Negoyim, of Tosefta Negoyim, in Halacha Beis, the Tosefta, talking about the city of Yerushalayim, Tosefta says there's no ben sora or umora in the city of Yerushalayim. Can't have a ben sora or umora in the city of Yerushalayim. Okay, that's the Tosefta. Meshach Chachma, in our parsha over here, Meshach Chachma says, well, why not? And he explains beautifully. Says or Meir Simcha Midvinsk, you can't have a ben sora or umora in Yerushalayim. You know why? Because in Yerushalayim, historically, it was one big meat market, right? We had, you have to understand, every day there were karbonos hatzibor that were brought, but the whole day, karbonos were coming in and out. People bring individual karbonos, people bring, we had the regular karbon tzibor, people bring a nedava, people bringing, you know, different karbonos for different reasons. They promised to give something, they did an aveira, there was this type of karbon, and there was a lot of meat. And we know that some of the meat was burned on the mizbeach, and some of the meat went to the kohanim, and some of the meat was eaten by the Baal HaBayis, by whoever brought the karbon, and where was it eaten? So it was eaten around Yerushalayim. And where did they get the meat? There were animals. They had to purchase animals. The animals had to be readily available. Yerushalayim was a place where everybody had access to meat. Says the Meshech Chachma, if this boy grows up in a city where meat is everywhere, you can't then tell him, I'm sorry, I know you love meat, I know it's always around, but now you can't have it. You can't put something in somebody's face and then say, no, I'm sorry. If you eat a piece of meat, that's part of, you're already on your way to becoming a ben sora or umora. Okay, there's also wine that he has to steal, but even the meat, he's exposed to so much meat, how could we come to him and say, I'm sorry, if you take meat, you're not allowed to do that. Kids who eat red meat like that? Nah, a glutton. A ben sora umora. Zol el vesove. Really? That's not fair. How could you do that? How could you expect a child? You're going to put the meat in front of his face all day, every day. There's meat going all around Yerushalayim. And you're going to tell him, I'm sorry. You're a Zol El Vesove. You eat meat like it's nobody's business. You can't do that to him. Raise him in Tel Aviv. And then you want to tell him, I'm sorry. You eat meat like this. That's not appropriate. But you raise him in Yerushalayim. You have to understand. You're putting him in a matzav of Yerushalayim, of meat. You can't tell him, but you can't eat the meat. You can only have a tiny drop. You can't have too much, because that's not fair. You can't do that. That's, this Meshech Chachma is so important. We can't do that. We can't get caught up in giving them whatever they want and then pulling back and saying, no, I'm sorry, you can't have that. Can't do that to any human being. Certainly we can't, we expect it. We expect to be able to control, and we expect to be able to give to somebody and then say, no, sorry, you can't have that. So that's not reasonable, and that's something we need to know. That if we're going to offer something to a child, or if something is going to be available to a child, we might try to monitor it, of course. Might try to be in control of what access the child has to whatever that is. But to say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to sit you in front of the food, let you smell it, and not let you have it, that's not fair. So that's something also to keep in mind. That's the lesson of the Meshech Chachma, based on the Tosefta Negoim, that we have to be reasonable in our expectations of our children. And if our children are going to grow up in a society that has exposure to certain things, of course we have to monitor and be in control. But we also have to be reasonable. We can't look at the child and say, oh, I'm sorry, I know that you do this all day, I know that you're exposed to this all day, but I'm not comfortable with you doing this. Well, you have to be at least reasonable. You can't expect a child not to rebel against that idea, not to say, no, if I'm looking at meat all day, then I'm going to be eating meat. That's fair for the child to say. We can't hold them accountable. And that's why, if there's a child who grows up in the city of Yerushalayim, we can't call him a Ben Sorer Umorer. Those are the two lessons. Those are two lessons that can be learned from the halachos of a Ben Sorer Umorer. Number one, that a child has to be put in a position that he's going to see role models. Hopefully, his parents are going to be a living example of what he could strive to become. He could read halachas for him to see what he's supposed to do, but he could also watch his parents to see what he's supposed to do. He could watch his parents and see, this is a value, this is important, and this is what I want to do, this is what I want to mimic and one day become. And then the lesson of the Meshech Chachma, that we have to be fair, that we have to put our children in a situation that if we see them, that if they see, if they have access to something, that they're allowed to follow through on it. You can't put them in your Yerushalayim with so much meat and then tell them, I'm sorry, you can't have meat. Something to consider. Obviously, the applications of these examples are very broad, but the basic idea is certainly in place. That's the lessons of the Ben Sorer Umorah.